Betsy and Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media. And today we are bringing together our two worlds, our spiritual interests that lie over on the other side of the bridge, the Gospel of Sophia, which was written by Tyla and Douglas Gabriel. And today we're introducing Ahriman into our geopolitical work because the time has come when other people are posting about Ahriman. We should be out there speaking about it too. Douglas, I want you to talk today about Ahriman, and I do have a video posted on the site that you did last year, a really nice one. It's called Douglas Gabriel on Transhumanism. But today I want to look at Ahriman and also this idea that not everyone is going to make it through the shift and through this next stage of human evolution. We want to make sure that our listeners and subscribers are fully aware of what's happening spiritually and politically. So why is it, Douglas, that only a third of humanity is going to make it into the next stages of evolution?
Well, that's just part of the way that it works out in the mix. It was planned that way. It's not necessarily good for those who don't move forward or those who move backward, but for those who are evolving, it has to incorporate the element of freedom. So you can't be the one-third that woke up and not have done some work. Now, there's this very, very, very strange reference that Rudolf Steiner made. And we've been trying to figure this out for some time. He said that in the year 3100 BC, that something came over humanity like a sleep. And they all laid down. And after a while, some amount of days, a third of them awakened. And this happened all over the earth. So two-thirds of humanity literally were wiped out overnight, or within, this was supposedly about 3 days. So then what did they do when they woke up? Those leaders who continued, they basically looked around, wanted to prove that they understood the precession of the equinoxes, so that, you know, the stars and the planets and their timing and their movement. And so then they wrote, they built their megalithic structures. Well, these megalithic structures are directly connected to star clusters. In the case of the pyramids in Cheops, or many of the Chinese pyramid, there's actually about 20 cities of pyramids in China, none of which have actually been explored. So those match up beautifully with other constellations. But Angkor Wat was basically the constellation of Draco. The Great Pyramid is the constellation of Orion. And so what were they telling us? If you spin it back to see why they placed the image of, say, Orion on the Giza Plateau at that time in that particular fashion. Well, if you go and you spin the dial backwards, you're going to find out that they wanted to demarcate a particular time in history, 10,500 BC. As a matter of fact, that's what you'll find in a number of these. Now, you can throw the theory out, but you can't throw the facts out. The facts are megalithic structures were built to demonstrate the precession, the knowledge of the precession of the equinox, and to earmark about 10,500 to 11,000 BC. Why? Why would they do this? And why do we not understand those megalithic builders? Why is it we stand in complete awe that they had some power all at once around the world, 3,100, that's when the big megalithic structures that were aligned with the stars started to be built to begin with, and then it continued on for a long, long time because they still had their traditions. So why would that be important? And if now we are at the 11,000-year mark where they say another mini ice age will come, and we see that we are at a maunder minimum with the sun, in other words, an over 200-year cycle that has been followed, and it is very clear that if you want to understand climate, you must understand the sun, period. And so we're entering into what some would say is going to be somewhat of a dark age. Well, if we're talking about great periods of time, then we can get into the Indian Hindu philosophy, which believed that we were in the Kali Yuga, a dark age from about 3000 BC to 2000 AD for 5,000 years. That's about right. Or 3100, so it turns out to be 100 years before. So it's the 1900. So in 1900, what happened? Rudolf Steiner and many others, and many theosophists and many spiritual people said that a new age had come, the Satya Yuga, the age of light. But if you look into what is supposed to happen during that age of light, here's the sad news. It is not a cakewalk. It is not a walk down a primrose path.
Well, for many years, those of us who have been knowledgeable that this this time period was coming to a close and a new one was opening up, we would call it the shift. Things are going to be upset, disrupted as we make way for the new. We see this all the time in history. If you look at the stories of Noah's Ark, not everybody made it. Why? Because they weren't listening. They didn't have a consciousness to understand what Noah was doing. And here we are in our current age, where each of us is called upon to prepare our ark for what we are going to be going through, this shift. In previous incarnations, we may have experienced this more in a physical way. I say that now we're going to experience it in a realm of consciousness. And we have a lot of people around us that aren't conscious of what's going on. They're taking the vaccine, they're putting on their masks, they're just walking blindly through this. And it is so sad. We even have family members who've taken the vaccine, and they will see 3 and 6 months down the road that it wasn't what the media lied and propagandized about. It was a very dangerous agent that was entered into their bloodstream. Now, along those lines, Douglas, can we talk about why this works in this evolution that we have shed or culled humanity for the next stage?
Well, that's a very good description, and it's a very good direction to go. And yes, we are seeing the culling of humanity because everyone who's taking that shot is foolish. They have obviously not studied it, because all the studies say the same thing. AstraZeneca is now forbidden in 17 countries. How about all the millions of people they gave that to, who they killed, harmed, strokes, anaphylactic shock, you name it. But that's just within minutes. What happens down the line, as you pointed out, is really what we got to look at. And so in this age of light, we're still not out of the age of darkness. And so what's the spiritual world do? The spiritual world sends the Kalki avatar, who in some cases rides on a ferocious tiger, in other cases a white horse, but she has a sword. And if you're ignorant and dull and you're not doing your work, which you know what your work is, if you're not doing your work, she chops your head off. And so she is the one who is telling us generally that the sword is the sword of wisdom. It's the sword of Manjushri. It's the sword of Michael. And that sword, it's the curved blade of Vajrayogini, dancing in the flames of transcendental wisdom. It's all of these things are images of what happens to you in your own body. But as we entered into a new light age, Satya Yuga, it's just beginning. And some people had to go into extreme darkness before they could awaken. And what we have right now is what Rudolf Steiner had predicted could happen, and unfortunately, it has happened. That they advanced technology, and they advanced the agenda to attempt to wipe out human thinking, human feeling, and human willing. And they would do this with a whole set of propaganda, vaccines, or the ones that enter into the will and they will actually kill you. For instance, you know all those good vaccines we got when we were children? Those enteroviruses, they're still stuck in your body, and they create diabetes, heart disease. All the diseases that we know are actually exacerbated by vaccines, and cancer particularly. And the studies have shown this again and again, but the vaccines go on and on. How can this be? It's like the flood that came over consciousness in 3100 BC that made some people swoon so bad they died. And others, it actually enhanced them. And the reason we're getting a hit now is because we crossed the galactic center a few years back. And when we did, we started getting, because we're in a sunspot minimum and a Maunder minimum, which is a grand minimum, that means that there's more cosmic rays, gamma rays, waves, and many others, gamma rays, many kinds of electromagnetic frequencies are now coming in from the stars, because the sun is no longer controlling the atmosphere between the sun and the earth with so much so many solar flares, which of course are accompanied by sunspots. So what we have is we've entered into a new age, but the darkness is being dragged along with us, and that's the two-thirds. But the one-third is moving forward incredibly fast.
Another way to look at it is that the Satanists, who have been awake for a lot longer than a lot of us for centuries, they knew that the path of the human being was to evolve into becoming an angel. Of course, this takes time. It's not going to happen in one lifetime. I don't want people to think that that happens, but we begin to evolve into angels, into higher beings. Well, they don't want that, because they want the earth to be reigned by Lucifer, or Satan, whatever that evil force is for you in your thinking. That's what they wanted. So they had to set the rest of humanity on a path of devolution. And that's what you see when the media is lying and propagandizing, and you have this fake science telling you that bioweaponry injected in your bloodstream is a good thing. This is all to help us, well, to push us into devolution, so that we don't become angels, but we fall back and we become an animal. It will be a human animal, but we lose the capacity to connect with the higher beings, with God. And if we can't do that, we can't lift ourselves up into angelhood.
Yes, and like the megalithic structures were a time capsule to tell the future, hey, watch out. You can have another ice age and be prepared for it. And it followed the precession of the equinoxes study the stars and so on and so forth. So what would we do today if we wrote a time capsule for the future, as we are actually seeing now, not climate warming, not climate change, but we're seeing climate cooling. Now, the climate cooling, if you look upon the maps that you can get for the Antarctic and the Arctic, they're back to just about as big as they've ever been. So, you know, the idea that they're melting is complete nonsense. The idea that the ocean is going to rise, no. The very island they keep track of in Hawaii has gone down a quarter of an inch. The oceans aren't rising.
But this knowledge that we are entering this cycle works to their benefit. So they're withholding the technologies that we need to provide cheap and efficient energy so that we can keep things warm, including greenhouses and our homes and all that. They keep that. Klaus Schwab has got this amazing plasma technology, but he's keeping it all to himself and to his 50,000 employees that work for him? Yeah. So they're very stingy. And they, because they know that nature can also get rid of the ones that didn't die from their vaccines, that the lack of heat. Just think about Texas, what happened to Texas last month, but think of it in a bigger and grander scale. So this is an all-out event to cull humanity. You could call it depopulation. What it really is global genocide, and people are just walking blindly into it. And unfortunately, the weight of those people walking blindly over the abyss into, or over the cliff into the abyss, is going to take all of us down because we're all interconnected.
It's an extinction event, but it's in consciousness, as you say, and it's happening right before our eyes. People went out and got two shots for COVID. If they would have looked into it for one minute, after reading 1 minute of the facts, they would run the other direction. But no, they happily show on Facebook their little card that shows their shot records, and they're very proud of it. And here they are with their little tiny child, and I got my child vaccinated too. Well, I don't know. There's a couple vaccines that are okay, but that's for like lockjaw. That, you know, then they're very, very basic. But all those ones that involve basically your germs, I mean, what they would call germs and viruses that are in the environment, coronaviruses, enteroviruses, all these different viruses, they simply made a mix and put it into our systems when we were young. And that's why we're all suffering some type of disease, except for those who are very strong, have strong immune systems. But now, oh, no. This is the war of all against all. Steiner had said that we could get a copy, a mini version of the war of all against all at the turn of the century. And that is what we've entered into. Now, we had warned everyone of this, and that's the reason that Betsy Tyler keeps referring to the Ark, because we'd given instructions warning you this is going to happen. And we took things from religious scripture, from the letters of Fatima, from all the people who believe they know what's going to happen in the future, and basically distilled that for you. Because no matter what, right now, it's going to be in the air. This is the destruction in the air. Lemuria was with fire. Atlantis was with water. And this, what we call the post-Atlantean age, is in air. And what's in the air right now? 5G, 4G, 3G, 2G, 1G. It is mechanical thinking that has been made wireless, and that mechanical thinking is trying to steal thinking from human beings. So if we're going to understand Ahriman, let's first, so some could say, oh, that's so Ahrimanic. Well, but wait a second, how about the people who discovered it? That was Luciferic. And then what about the effects that nobody's asking about? Well, that's another group of being that we call the Asuras. But they don't really have their boss here now. And that's the big one, you see. And so it isn't the end time, but it is a small picture of the war of all against all. And that's what the vaccine nonsense has done, the masks. In 2008, Fauci did a paper stating that he had studied the Spanish flu and found that the majority of the people died of bacterial pneumonia created by wearing the masks. So he knows that the masks are killing as many people as coronavirus. Go and look it up on the CDC site. Let's see, the numbers, I believe last year, it was like previous year before the COVID hit, maybe you had 90,000 to 140,000 people dying of pneumonia. According to them now, we have 700,000 people who have just died of pneumonia. In other words, their masks are working. You put a mask on an old person, they're going to get, bacterial pneumonia. Also, they give it out the injections for the vaccine for pneumonia to make sure that they try to kill you with a good shot, just like they do with the flu shot. But flu miraculously this year decided to go live on another planet. And now we've only had a couple hundred people die of the flu, according to the CDC, which is, of course, absurd. They rolled all those numbers into COVID. And so what do they have us in? A war of all against all. You got your mask on. You're afraid that, oh, my God, if that person gets too close to me, oh, my God, they're evil. They could give me COVID. Well, that didn't happen because COVID didn't turn out to be very good. COVID only is good against old people.
Well, can we get out of these weeds? I think our audience is done with that. They know that the vaccines are dangerous. They know the face mask is just a way to provoke mass hysteria. But I would really like to look at what's spiritually going on. Step outside of our limited incarnations and incarnationally what's happening here. Because the way I see it is that human beings have been given an opportunity on the earth to develop their consciousness. And along the way, in these thousands of years, there have been places of time where we had to, lighten the herd because people were dragging. They weren't coming along. And so then you see this event that you talk about in 3000 BC where people just drop down and don't get up. You see it at Noah's Ark where only Noah and his family make it. Another time that I believe you see it is with the incarnation of Christ saying, look, people, and of course I'm paraphrasing Christ here, but look, people, you're not getting it. You've got to follow the way in order to evolve. So here, let me lay it out for you again. This is the way forward, and these are the practices. Well, of course, the early Romans, the Roman Empire, wasn't going to be taken over by a bunch of early pre-Christians. So they usurped the Christian movement early on. And we have tracked this in other work we've done by following the Holy Lance and its history through time. Here we are again, over 2,000 years later, not barely 2,000 years later, from when Christ was here, giving us our marching orders, and we didn't follow the way. A lot of humanity, you look around, when we looked and examined the corruption in the swamp, we saw it spilled over into the whole world. We found out that our courts are corrupt, that our president didn't have standing in the Supreme Court, that John Roberts is a Knights of Malta agent, that if Kamala Harris is not a U.S. citizen, she's an agent of the British Commonwealth. I mean, it is just so horrific what we see here. But we have to do something. We have recommended some plays that need to be made in the financial markets to take down their markets. But still, we're looking at another event where not everyone's going to make it. But we have to do this in order to evolve as a species. Because if we follow what they are going to do and what they want to do to us, we will no longer be a species.
I believe we are at a moment of an extinction event for the human race. And this is no joke, and I'll explain why I say that and can justify it quite simply. I'll do that in a second. Let's go back to what you had queried about, and that's that these beings, and I'll describe them in a minute, they want your thinking, feeling, and willing. Once they got that, they get to come in and dwell in you, and basically good and bad spirits can do that. In your thinking, feeling, and willing. Well, a lot of these people that you just described that are lead images in the war of all against all and the insanity we see anywhere you look right now, pure, absolute insanity. And it seems as if everybody is in a war with everyone else. So why does that happen? Well, first off, let's talk about evil. Evil is here for a limited time. It's here to create resistance so that we as young beings of consciousness have something to bump up against. It's what gives us the ability to wake up. So, yes, evil fell. Most of the stories from Christianity are well known that Lucifer, the brightest of the angels, fell to the earth. And then he's called after that the father of lies. He's called Satan. He's called thousand names. Well, that's one of the beings of evil, and that being rules your thinking if you let them. And so all this evil thinking is really from Lucifer, because it's all about egotism. And that's what Lucifer was. He was a prideful egotist who thought that he was wanted to be as good as God and move over. I'm just going to take your throne. And when that didn't work out, then he made his own throne, and then he had to be cast to the earth with the sword and spear of Michael, the right arm of God. Okay, that's one version. Now, there's another version of evil that the Persians believed in, or the Zoroastrians, and that's where there's a being coming from the sun called Ahura Mazda, And there's a being on the earth fighting out of the darkness with that being, trying to resist it. And that being is called Angrimanu, but they shorten it to Ahriman. So Rudolf Steiner and his followers, as well as Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, were always talking about Ahriman, and they talked about Lucifer too. Well, that is the realm of your feelings. Ahriman is cold-hearted. He would be a being that is quite different than the being of Lucifer. And once you understand that there are different beings who are trying to take over your thinking, feeling, and willing, then you can see that, and you can try to work with stopping it. And that is building your ark, to be able to float on the new waters. If there's fantastic gamma rays coming in from the stars and the cosmos right now, then we need to learn to adapt to accept them as nourishment, not as just a breaking down of the body, which it also is. So we have you have to have different ways to look at things, both good and bad. So when we talk about Ahriman, he is really trying to, he was around in the Persian times before Christ ascended and was in, and went through the mystery of Golgotha. And the Persians believed that Christ was on the rays of the sun coming from the sun to the earth. And so their leader, Zarathustra or Zoroaster, was in direct communion with that being that we would call Christ, the being of the sun, he works through the sun. That isn't his home. His home is in the Trinity. But he works through the sun and the seven Elohim of the sun, the rank of angels that we would call the beings of form. So when you see this, you say, okay, that's two Satans, that's two evil beings. One might say that Lucifer is on your left ear, telling you to, you know, basically fly away into the heavens. Now, don't wait. Ignore everyone else. Be completely egotistic, completely selfish. Only do things that please you and, you know, your self-contained light. Don't be loving. Don't be warm. Lucifer is cold light in your thinking. Well, most of our modern science is all based upon this cold thinking of Lucifer. But unfortunately, they make machines. Well, machines that in fact hurt your the part of you that is your being of a rhythm, like your heart and lungs. So the circulation and rhythm and your feelings, which are centered in the heart, these things get attacked by Ahriman. And Ahriman will turn them cold and dead. Turn your heart into stone cold cube. And also, Ahriman is kind of the lord of death. He's the one who holds the fear over our heads that, oh, yeah, you're going to die, and you don't understand where you're going, and you don't understand where you came from, so you're down here in my realm. When they say, you know, evil is sufficient unto the day, I think they're talking about Ahriman. When they're talking about, remember, you are born into to the prince of this world. That is Ahriman. That is the being who gives us sickness and illness. But there's yet a worse being. In your willpower, which is the most powerful part of a human being, we think it's our thinking, but it's not. And even feelings override thinking when they're truth feelings. But in the will, you have the most powerful part of the human being. And as we know through anthroposophy, thinking, when raised to a higher level, becomes imagination. But living imagination is a communion with angelic beings. It isn't just simply fantasy pictures flowing by. When the heart is awakened and we can begin to commune with archangelic beings through our feelings, then the heart shows us that there is a language that can take us into the spiritual world if we just simply listen. It's already in our hearts. But if you want to get into the realm of intuition to the beings of the Archai, who rule 2,160-year periods, And the, of course, the archangels rule 360-year periods. And the angel, of course, is your midwife into the spiritual world, your guardian angel, who always connects you to other angels. But when you enter the will, you enter into a mysterious area. Now, the ancient Indian Hindu philosophers called the evil that exists in the will the asuras. Now, for quite a great amount of time, the anthroposophists and theosophists didn't want to talk about the asuras, and they didn't want to face who they were. Well, they enter the will, like when you hold your cell phone, when you're working on a computer, when you're using mechanical devices that you don't understand, when you switch a light on and you're using electricity, which you don't understand. Who created all that for you? Well, those were created by the collective effort of all humanity. And humanity was inspired by Lucifer and Ahriman also, but they're also inspired by this being who is called Soroth. And Soroth is the anti-sun being. He's the worse than the Antichrist. I wouldn't want to use that name because that has very specific religious connotations. But he is the Antichrist being, and the Asuras basically are stealing human willpower right now so that in the far distant future, thousands of years when Soroth incarnates, that Soroth will in fact take over those two-thirds of humanity quite thoroughly. Whereas one-third of humanity will be walking next to their angel and speaking to their angel, who can then speak to the hierarchy above them. And they'll have, you know, that what we're talking about is spiritual knowledge, and spiritual science will, in fact, just be commonplace under knowledge. It'll be common sense.
And how that works is that we are in the process of developing another organ of perception. You know, you have eyes, the eyes see, the ears hear, right? You smell. Well, we are working on our heart, and the heart is becoming an amazing organ. We call it an organ of supersensible perception. And this is why Douglas wrote the book on the heart. I have it posted in a lot of different places, still working on that last chapter. But basically, for those of you who just want a quick summary to see if you're interested in reading it, we talk about the heart and the capacities of the heart beyond what you may realize. And this is what Douglas and I use when we have done our research over all these years. We've opened up our heart to be able to function in this way so that we can perceive things that others might not be able to perceive because they're shut down in that chakra area. So to get people to see this, explain how the eye was formed, the EYE in our heads, and compare that to how the heart is now forming. And also, let me add, I want to hear about the suffering that is needed in order to, you know, open up that chakra in your heart to be able to begin its development.
Well, like the Buddha who walked out from a beautiful, perfect life, perfect wife, perfect child, perfect palace, and witnessed sickness, old age, and death, and said, why does this happen? And spent his whole life trying to figure it out, and then finally figured out it's about suffering. And that if you desire, then you suffer. Well, you know, that's a pretty simplistic answer. Let's talk about the suffering of the eye. Goethe pointed out that every wound becomes a possible new organ. So the light itself, when it was with the human being creating the eye of the human being, the light itself created the eye to perceive it. Same thing with sound in the ear. And when you're talking about the heart, because the ear is really the oldest of the and most perfected of the organs, sense organs, and the eye is somewhat new. Well, the eye is ruled by Lucifer. It is your eyes that get you into so much trouble because you see something that you desire or that somebody else has, or you become jealous or envious, or you become, you know, all the different deadly sins, all the different vices. So that's your eyes. And that's where so much temptation happens. But if we could actually see the world properly, instead of through Lucifer's eyes, we redeem Lucifer and we see the world through the Holy Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, and Sophia's Holy Sophia, then you will see that there's tremendous wisdom everywhere, and that it's basically a fountain of eternal youth if you can understand nature for its true self. But what we have is just the cold, dead images of the brain. And that's the reason, you know, we have television and we can't be entertained unless we have images flashing that actually are very bad for you and create all kinds of chemical disturbances in the brain. And then what happens with the hearing? What happens with the ear? Listen to all the garbage. And now free speech is squelched and we must listen to lies being told as a scientific fact. This is accepted science. Sorry, folks, it's already accepted, you know. No, it's not. And when did scientists really ever think first before they invented something? Now, Rudolf Steiner says that if you can turn those images into something good, imagination, then it's called moral imagination. When you have a true living image of a thought, then it connects you to other beings above that. And that's how the great philosophers are able to basically climb into the spiritual world one step at a time, one rung at a time. The ladder is shown as an image of initiation, as a matter of fact, because that's what it is, one step at a time. And oftentimes people start off with seeing and Lucifer, and then they go to the heart. And the heart is connected very much to the ear. But when you get to the heart, the heart is an organ that is a supersensible organ of perception, and it perceives not only everything in the human body, both the upper nerve sense system and the lower metabolic system, and then, of course, its own rhythmic system. In other words, thinking, feeling, and willing are all centered in the heart.
But it's more than that, Douglas. It is, and I don't know how you describe it to people, but it's a type of nourishment. It provides you nourishment when you have a need that it is satisfied. You might see it as a form of flow or synchronicity that comes to you and it keeps coming and you go, why is this happening? Well, this is that heart, that supersensible organ opening up. So all your needs are taken care of. Everything is there for you.
That's exactly right. Because it's out of the heart that moral intuition arises. And it's out of the heart that all morality arises. And because if you can perceive the inside of yourself as the temple of God or goddess, and you can look outside and see the nature as the temple of the goddess manifesting, of course, and passing away. But what does it do? There's birth, death, and rebirth in nature. That's the triple goddess, the original deity worshipped throughout the whole world ubiquitously in the ancient times. And that's very simple. You look at a human mother, if you look at a mother having a baby, and she can have more than one baby, and maybe one of those children, unfortunately, may die. Birth, death, rebirth, it's right before the eyes of those who are looking at it. And so they put it into religions, they put it into everything else. But the simple way to look at it is, if you can control your thinking and keep it out of being selfish, and if you can warm up your heart and basically melt Ahriman's nasty control over human beings, making them basically automatons and robots and responding to machine language before they respond to human language or human intelligence. Forget human intelligence. Let's go over to completely machine intelligence. That's Ahriman. So if you can do things in your life that, you know, bring the warmth of the heart and morality.
And love.
Well, of course, love.
Because that is the antidote to all of this.
Yes, absolutely. So you have moral imagination, moral inspiration, and moral intuition. Once the inspiration in the heart arises, because you have a warm heart, and in all cases, let's put it this way, in all cases, there is no such thing as moral imagination, moral inspiration, or moral intuition, unless you're doing it for the other, unless you're doing it out of selflessness, out of love, and that love flowing out of you into everyone, the whole world. But once that arises, then, as you say, synchronicity starts to happen, and you start to see that you're in link with the divine, and you start to close the gap on the greatest mystery of all religions. Where do you draw the line between divine grace and human freedom? Well, it's drawn at love. And if you're loving yourself, you are feeding Lucifer, Ahriman, the Asuras. If you love others selflessly, and particularly the ones who are difficult to love, or, you know, that you go out of your way, then and love your enemy, as Christ has said, then that is going to be the thing that saves your thinking from Lucifer, saves your feelings from Ahriman, and saves the Asuras from eating up your will. But you need to then put on a thinking cap, and really, as Betsy will probably remind you, go back and look at some of the things we've told you will get you through this. We warned the flood was coming if Hillary Clinton was elected. That's one of the reasons we got on board early with Donald Trump. Well, Biden is basically Hillary Clinton. So is the end in here? Well, every financial speculator and expert is getting so excited because they believe that the big bubbles are all going to burst. So we're at a precipice that has never been faced before in history. It is a war, it is a mini war of all against all. And now the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, even though that isn't true, the AstraZeneca vaccine made by Oxford, oh my, well, made in Britain by Oxford, must be good. 17 countries won't take it because it clots blood, kills people. That was made with a synthetic DNA and manipulable messenger RNA and the DNA of chimpanzees and many other things. And we know what's in that one.
Okay, here we go in the weeds again. We all know they're evil. I want to talk about our evolution.
Well, the point is that these viral vectors, and then they add the word virus at the end, they're not vaccines. Viral vectors are simply attacking your own ability to produce autoimmune reactions to foreign bodies in your that you come in contact with. Now, what's going to happen is the following. We will have a mini war of all against all because within the next year or two, we're going to get to see that the tens of millions of people, or 100 million people, hundreds of millions of people who get these vaccines will now have strange illnesses which are contagious. So we will have to, what we were playing, the game we were playing with COVID-19, the COVID was going to take us all, but it's not because the statistics show otherwise. The vaccine, the people who get it will be carriers.
Now, is that all of the vaccines?
Well, all that's what I'm trying to explain. AstraZeneca, okay. No.
Okay, because they've got a lot of them, but we'll have to sort that out as the information comes available.
Well, Pfizer,
we don't know.
Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna, of course, you might as well say Fauci when you say Moderna. And when you say Pfizer, you might as well say Bill Gates. But BioNTech is a German company, and they came up with the messenger RNA protein spike viral vectors. Now, the results of this used on animals is the following. Yeah, all of the ones using messenger RNA, which AstraZeneca says they put that in, as well as all the other stuff, So of the three major vaccines that we know of, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Moderna, two of them are messenger RNA, and they are the ones who make you a GMO. You're now a genetically modified organism. And very highly likely have we know that it has a lipid nanoparticles because that's how it sneaks into the cell.
And GMOs can't reproduce. So these people will be sterile.
That's already been pointed out. The protein spike.
But that also is part of the culling situation.
It absolutely is. And remember, they've already tried this with Gardasil, sterilizing all the young people. And then they call it, 100% approved. But what we're seeing with the messenger RNA modifications of the human being has never been done before. It's an emergency use only, and therefore you sign away your life and you indemnify those who have created these monstrous synthetic experiments. And as I was saying, they say there's been no animal studies. No, that's not true. There's been animal studies on these, and this is what happens. The animals are injected, almost 100% of them are fine until they experience somebody who has COVID-19 or any other flu or pneumonia. And then they get some weird illness. There's a whole list of them, and then they die.
The
animals all died.
The vision that I see is that as you're preparing folks that are listening, you're preparing your ark. That means you're getting your household ready. You've got your precious metals, your silver, your gold. You've got your pantry stocked. I mean, seriously, we're going through hyperinflation. The veils are being lifted. I mean, everything that can't be tied down to earth has been shorted, and the banks are short, the stock market short, silver short, all of the lies and everything is all being exposed, and it's all going to collapse. But we're trying to just kind of nudge it so that it collapses on the evil ones. And those of you who have been listening, paying attention, you're fortifying yourself both spiritually and around you physically with the things that you need to survive as we go forward. I don't want to paint a doomsday picture because I know that those of us who are prepared, we're going to be fine. We're going to make it out. But you're going to be on your ark, and you're going to see the people out there in the water drowning, and there's nothing you can do. If a loved one has already taken the vaccine, that's you can't undo that. So we're going to just have to come to grips with what this means for our future incarnations and our evolution as a species, and stop looking at it as these individual losses, because there will be so much suffering to have to watch this.
Oh, yes. It's like the image of Lot and his wife and children leaving the city as hellfires. Now, what would they call it?
That's the world they've turned it into. I mean, we posted a little video about the artisan sausage they make, okay, that the celebrities give their cells up and they turn it into, this is on the video, they turn it into muscle, which they then grow in a lab and they make sausage. Frankly, with all the research we've done, it could actually be the celebrity that they've chopped up and made sausage, because they want us to become cannibals. If we become cannibals, our evolution process stops. Even if it's in the aborted babies that they're putting in the vaccines, or their fake meats and their sausages, we have to say no when we know it's evil. And that means, and I'm so glad to see so many Trump supporters who are saying, hell no, we're not taking the vaccine. No, we don't care what Donald Trump says at this point. We don't see that he is free to speak the truth. He could be handled. His kids could be, in a quote unquote hostage situation. He could be threatened to have to come out and say these things. So at this point in history, citizens, we need to follow the path of truth and not follow anyone in particular, like a Jim Jones at Jonestown, and drink their Kool-Aid.
Vaccines are not safe. The military knows it. I was in the military when they gave us shots. Many of us went to a hospital. Then I found out there were three of these hospitals and hundreds of people going through basic training get the shots and go into the hospital. And what do they get? Acute respiratory disease. Well, that's SARS. So what we're seeing here is that all vaccines are evil, but these new ones are the worst of all. Not only because it's they're not really certified, they haven't been tested, they have horrible side effects. I think already here in America, the statistics are just staggering when you look at the number of people who have died or have become seriously ill. The numbers in the tens of thousands. And then people think, well, then it's over. No, it's not over. That's gone. It's lodged. That vaccine has lodged itself in your body. And it's these asuras. It's trying to take over your life. Just like when we got the vaccines when we were a child, we didn't know that it was going to lead to diabetes. We didn't know it was going to lead to heart disease, kidney failure, so on and so forth. But that's what happens, and that's what happens in the test animals. And they knew this is happening. So vaccine companies, big pharma, they are not trying to help you. That's like the hospitals. They're just there as a business. They want to do procedures. They want to make money. They want the next test because it's all part of just the flow of money. But when it comes to big pharma and when it comes to the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control, no. They are outright, this is a pogrom. This is genocide. And this is global genocide, literally ran from the World Health Organization, from the United Nations, and then those two organizations in America.
And the World Economic Forum. Don't forget those evil people.
They planned it. Remember, they had, they've actually had meetings to prepare for this, beg for it. Fauci threatened that it was going to happen, threatened when it was going to happen, and then they brought the hammer down. They knew that it was the only thing they had left to create the big bang for the reset. And the reset is basically America no longer exists. We are taken over by global forces. And America will probably be paired up with Canada and Mexico in the way that the United Nations plan wants to work. They want to have these economic zones. So there's going to be no more nations. But before that, there has to be this war of all against all. So what happens? Syria gets bombed. As soon as Syria is bombed in Damascus, that's it, folks. That's the rain coming down on Noah. And remember, even in the Fatima letters or with Noah or with Lot, they didn't get to take everybody. A lot of the people didn't make it. And so when we're talking about consciousness, are people going to make the leap of consciousness that is coming in because of all these things that we've mentioned, the Maunder minimum, the cosmic rays that are coming in from the stars, stronger now probably than any time that they can remember in history? There's actually just about the greatest number we've ever had of earthquakes, volcanoes, strange storms, so on and so forth. So as this minimum is happening, we can expect all these things. Magnetic anomalies, people say that the Earth's axis is going to shift north to south, south to north as it has before. Paleomagnetism proves that. It is. I've been watching the gigantic hole. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So where are we headed? Consciousness, no matter what. Humans are a precious thing to the divine, and they are not going to let a single person be wasted. Even if you're in the lower third and you become an animal human, and then it takes you a little bit longer to come to be a human and then a little bit longer, that's okay. It's all made in a big plan. But if you want to stay with what they call the progressive group or the group that's moving forward, it's now about consciousness. It's called the consciousness soul, also called the spiritual soul.
Okay, but not progressive like liberals.
I know.
I just want to call that out, okay? Yeah.
Yes. No, there's, I don't know what you call them. They're the ones who are, they're the people who are keeping up with the game, the people who are keeping it the right pace. And basically, that's really what it is about. Just wake up, look around, look inside, look outside, and create a coherent cosmology. And if you can do that, then no matter what is happening, you can understand it, you can put it in place, you can eventually digest it. Though right now, the things that are being stuck down our throat are just about the worst that I've seen in my life, just as the 4 years before were the best that I've seen coming out of the White House in Washington, D.C. But now it is, any evil you can think of is becoming a law. They're trying to make it a law in Pelosi's House of Representatives and in Schumer's Senate. So I'm glad we get to talk about it, this variety of things, and that we are bridging the gap over to our spirit. And if people really have deeper questions about this, this is a topic that we can go into in great detail. So thank you so much. And all I can say is batten down the ark, because I think it's raining.